Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. It is a Wednesday night in which we've been unable to reach Ann and Karen. Our understanding is they've had some power issues out at the ranch. Charlie is running our broadcast for us, and he's got thunderstorms passing over him. I have Megan here with me, and we'll see how the evening goes. So, hello, Megan.
Hi there.
Tonight, continuing on in the Walking in the Spirit seminar, we are in the section 3, Baptisms for Believers. This is something that I believe all of us are very familiar with. It's an important topic, and this seminar on the website is a good resource. So I hope that you will avail yourselves of it, and certainly if you have any questions, feel free to put them in the chat, but also you have people you can go to, so make sure you have a good grasp of the three baptisms for those who believe. Megan, did you have anything to say before we head into this?
Nope, we can just get into it.
Well, guess who's the reader tonight?
That would be me.
She's so smart. So, if you just want to read that, before you even read the scriptures, you can just read 1A.
Okay. Three baptisms for believers. Number one, into Christ or into his body at repentance and the new birth. There are a few references called one baptism in Ephesians 4. Because it is the only baptism that saves the soul and brings into the body of Christ. Also called the baptism of blood, i.e. washed in the blood of Jesus.
Okay. So this is obviously the baptism of blood, where when you read, you can see how this is applied when you look at the preaching in Acts, and when people believe the word, when people believe the gospel, is what this is. That's when the baptism of blood takes place, when they accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as their as having taken their punishment, and by that sacrifice that God the Father made of his Son are reconciled to him. He died in our stead, in other words, shed the blood that we should shed for our sins. He shed his for our sakes. And being sinless, death could not hold him, therefore he was resurrected. And now because of what he did, we have that mighty hope of that same resurrection. So, Miss Megan, Romans 6, 3 through 7.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Okay. So, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And you go down here and you see that the reference to Jesus hanging on the cross and shedding his blood for us, dying on our behalf, and then being raised. And we, at the foot of the cross, are washed clean. The Lord, God the Father, washes our soul clean. And we, at that point, then die to our old life, the life that we lived, the life that was under the bondage of sin. and which we term as our flesh at this point, and now we, even like Christ, are resurrected in him in newness of life and ought to so walk. Megan?
You know, I like that last verse. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And knowing this, verse 6 starts with knowing this. I don't know if anyone else listened to Texas's service on Sunday, but Scott gave a, what I thought was a really cool picture, if you will, of believing something with the law of the pendulum that a professor at wherever he studied gave, where he showed various times the law of the pendulum, asked the students if they believed it, and then got a pendulum that he hung up in the auditorium kind of thing on the stage from the middle, and had a student volunteer sit down on a chair waiting for that pendulum to come back. And everyone had said they believed the law of the pendulum, but this little fellow hopped right off that chair when that pendulum came back to him, even though the law had been shown over and over and over to be a law that was reliable and didn't fail, when it was his life, you know, his, the way he saw it perhaps, him sitting on the chair and this weight coming towards him, he hopped off the chair, which actually ended up showing that he didn't believe the law of the pendulum. And what we have to do is, you know, we have that faith that the Lord has given us. We have to know him. We have to know the gospel. We have to know that when we are dead, we are freed from sin. These are things we have to just, we have to come to a place where we know it, we stand in it, and we aren't swayed by
whatever comes at us.
Exactly. Whatever that weight of sin is that comes at us. Exactly. So.
Well, and, you know, when it says that Abraham believed God, it's really that simple. It's not always easy, but it's that simple. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, the one struggle that we so have is our flesh is always misinforming us. Mm-hmm. And it's like the enemy giving us misinformation. And when you say we have to know the Word of God, but then, and we do, but then we have to choose it over what we feel, what we think, when it is contrary. And all of us are have these choices that we have to make all the time, because all of us have flesh that is at enmity, at war against, not in agreement with the Word of God. And so we have to, as you said, know it, but then we have to choose it, and we have to choose it over anything else. And that's something we can do. We can't make our flesh not be our flesh. We can't make others not be others, but we can make a choice as to what we believe. And the beautiful thing about understanding these three baptisms is that by the blood of Jesus, we are reconciled unto God, period. We can go through many contortions because we see how undeserving we are of it, and we can, and our flesh will then question whether it is true or not, but we know that it is, and therefore we choose to stand in its sufficiency, period. And then when we get into water, each one of these has a different part of the whole that we stand in Christ Jesus and in his power. But it's something we do by faith, not by sight. And that's the difficult part oftentimes, because we are far more prone to believing what we see or feel, which is, you know, a tangible thing, than the Word of God. And we have to, in recognizing that, we can actually then fight a battle choosing otherwise. Amen. I hope that helps. I've been through the battle enough to understand, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we're on the baptism of blood, which is where we accept the terms, the peace treaty that God has offered us. When he sacrificed his son on that cross, he did it in our stead. He says, you know, you needed it, I did it. Just receive it. Humble yourself to that. And so we say, yay, Lord. Right?
Yep.
And thank you, Jesus and God. Thank God. Well, Jesus and God are one, are the same, but you know what I mean. 1 Corinthians 12:13.
For what, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
And this is where we are baptized into that body, is through that blood. That is that reconciliation. You can go get baptized in water, but if you don't have the blood and don't believe in its sufficiency and don't stand because you have chosen to take God at his word, you know, that's our entrance into that holy of holies.
This is the, you know, a verse that shows what we've covered already as we've been working our way through this, where we read about Cornelius. You know, it doesn't matter what your color, your language, your race, your
gender,
whatever, exactly. Jews, Gentiles, bond, free. It doesn't matter who you are. We all have the same opportunity and availability in to be one in him. And this is also the place where you, I mean, it may just be one of the places, but where you see that it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes you into Jesus.
Which is the water baptism that you're talking about there.
Is that what I am?
Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
I'm... Alrighty then. Sorry.
No.
Jumping
that's
ahead.
Absolutely. No. That's absolutely fine. But it is where the Holy Spirit is the one who translates us into that body, and it is what water baptism is, where we die to ourselves and we rise up and are alive unto him and in him. I mean, I guess the death to ourselves is at the foot of the cross, but when that water baptism is where we actually take God at his word, that we are translated into that body of Jesus Christ. And so water baptism is where we die unto our flesh, unto ourselves, and now are alive unto him, and we are because he said we are. And it's that spirit that translates us, where we now dwell in Christ, in the kingdom of God, not in this world. That, I'm sure, was terribly poorly put, and I apologize for that. But that is the significance and the that which we, and once again it comes down, do you believe? Because, and I say that because we've all been baptized, or I think all of us have been, but we walk away wondering if, you know, it's true for us, or did anything change, or well, I still feel like, I mean, here I still am, or however you might want to say it. And we know that without faith it is impossible to please God. And faith is actually, the expression of faith is when we believe what he said. And what he said is in his word. I mean, he gave us his word, the what we know as the King James Bible. And we just take him at his word. This is the baptism for believers. And we, by choice, believe, therefore we are in that congregation, washed by his blood, translated into his body by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus Christ, that inheritance that he could not give until he died, is that Holy Spirit which empowers us, even as it did him, that we might do the works of God, to manifest God. And all of this we receive, and all of this we walk in, because we both take God at his word, and it has nothing to do with what kind of an idiot you might be, or what kind of an idiot you just were, or how incapable you are, or how unworthy you are, because first of all, you are incapable. Second of all, you are an idiot. Third of all, you don't deserve it. But that had nothing to do with the gift of God through Christ Jesus. He already knew all that, did it anyway. So we got to just humble ourselves, take him at his word, and go forth. And that's where that grace picks up for us, where it, you know, it's by grace we're saved. He makes up the difference. He always will. And we call that good and are satisfied with that and rejoice in that and stand because of it. Anyways. Galatians. I hope I'm not being disheveled. Galatians 3:27.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Really comes back to, you were, if you believed, took God at his word. And if you're not sure if you did, because, I mean, we all kind of wavered and struggled, choose now. Choose this very second. Right?
Yep.
Doesn't matter the past. We all have a past. I mean, it's just the truth.
Oh, it is. And whether the past looks not too shabby or pretty shabby, it is irrelevant. It is still, you know, it's nothing you can, it's not a place to dwell.
No, you dwell there simply by the pride of not liking to not be great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's a humble walk, one dependent upon God, upon his word to be true, and upon the sufficiency of his provision for us. He said it was. He said it is. Thank God. Colossians 2:12.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
There you go, through the faith of the operation of God. Jesus is the author of faith. He, when he hung on that cross, believed that death could not hold him, and that he would be set free from hell. And when he did it, he also believed that he would take the keys of hell and death and be able to go into heaven, and the victory was won. Now that victory has not been fully manifest, and it will be, but it has already been won. Satan already lost it. He doesn't have his keys anymore. And all who will believe, he has lost his hold, his grip, and his right to. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's us. He has no right. And we stand in that place because of what Christ did. And he did it. So we can stand there. He already finished it. We can press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can press on to be servants even as those who we read about were and are. He's given us everything to hit that mark, to get there, to be his faithful servants, to do his will, to be his representatives. Ones that he can send far and wide, near, you know, close and at distances, because he knows we're going to go and bring his word. We're going to do his will. Anyways.
Do you want me to read the Ephesians 4:5?
Sure. I had to back up a little in my Bible. I'm there.
I'm not. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Should I read 4-6? Put that into the middle of the sentence.
Sure. It does have a comma before and after. Is that what you're implying?
Yeah. Actually, there's a... Anyway. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. That's something we can take him at his word for. Period.
You know, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and she voiced an agreement with what I said. She is, you know, as a believer, and the things that I said she agreed with. And I said to her, well, you know, the thing is, when we agree with the Lord, then we have unity and peace between ourselves. But it all comes back to us speaking the same thing and being, you know, there we go. You know, there's one God, one Father, one faith, one Lord. One body. It's one. It's not divided and scattered. It's single and focused and without dissension, without, you know, what's the word? Where things don't add up.
I'm not sure what word you're talking about.
I'm not.
Hence silence on my part.
Anyway, you know, when you speak the same thing, then this part here is true for us. And it's the only place where it can be true, because otherwise, by golly, as many people as there are opinions as there are, and different thoughts and what have you, but we need to... You know, we put on Christ, the last verse we read was. So, this is him. We're very blessed to have his word.
that we can also have those who rightly divide it for our
yes, indeed.
For us. You know, when you look at the early church and you see the Apostle Paul's, he fought to establish the faith. He even had to fight to establish it against those who had walked with Jesus, other apostles, because man's nature is to kind of, you know, it has kind of rubbery sides and all, and it's easy for it to find itself strain, and that strain can be simply accepting things that aren't true. And we know with the Jews, of course, that one, maybe the big thing was circumcision. Paul was a Jew, but he knew that circumcision availed nothing, and he would not bend on that point, because what he ministered was the gospel, the blood of the Lamb, its sufficiency, the operation of God then that washes us, the deliverance from, or that separation from our flesh where we are now set free from it and are free to serve Him. And He wasn't going to move from that. He wasn't going to say, well, I'm who I am because I'm circumcised, or I'm who I am because I don't eat this or don't eat that, or I exercise the right amount. He refused, and he came against everybody who would add such things to the gospel. And that is the faith, and it's the one that Paul said he kept. That's what he was talking about when he said to Timothy, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. That was the job God gave him, and he did it. And he did not let it go, and he didn't add anything to it. He didn't water it down. He didn't soften it. Because it is life to all who will hear. That's why. I mean, he didn't do it just because he was full of his own rightness. He did it because it is life. And he knew that. He knew it. And so he made sure that it was established to the extent he could, that that life which God has offered us through Jesus Christ would be available to all.
Amen.
So water baptism, a lot of these scriptures are going to be very familiar to us. I'll let you read both Matthew 28:19 and Mark 16:16. These obviously are in the Gospels. They're at the Jesus's commission, so to speak.
You want me to start?
Yeah, I'm paging back to 28. 28:19, I'm there.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Okay. And actually you can read 20.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Okay. And then Mark 16:16, because this is actually 15 and 16.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Okay, and then we all know that it goes on and says that you're going to be able to tell who believes, because there's going to be signs following them.
Yeah.
He that believeth what? The gospel.
Sure.
You know, not just that there is a God, not just that Jesus died on a cross for our sins, but actually believe the gospel.
He died for my sins and your sins.
Yes. And then, and we'll see as we go into Acts where when people received the gospel, that they then were baptized in water, which is why this is under one of the most beautiful ones that you'll see, and it's, I think it's one of the latter ones in Acts, is the Ethiopian eunuch, because he asked Philip if he could be baptized, and Philip says, basically, if you believe, you can. We'll get there. And the guy said that he did. But, you know, Philip, it's easy to just jump at something, but it was important. Water baptism is what follows the acceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ for one's salvation. And Philip verified that. You'll see. It was the prerequisite, and he spoke that prerequisite, so to speak. So we'll kind of go through these quickly because we've seen them all before, and they're all examples of this water baptism after the acceptance of the blood of the Lamb.
One quick thing on Matthew 28:19, which probably everyone who is live tonight knows, is that it says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which doesn't mean dunk them three times. It means the name of all three is Jesus. You baptize them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you see that elsewhere in, you know, more than one place.
Thank you.
Sure.
An important point.
Acts 2.
What's that? Yes, Acts 2.
This is
You're making me flip around there, Missy.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't be. Okay. 38-41.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Okay, so this is what we're going to see in Acts, is those who received their words. Here we have Peter. This is the chapter where we have the day of Pentecost, and Peter obviously ministers by the Holy Spirit, and the end is that he gave, you know, he let them know the way if they wanted to be reconciled with God. And those who heard accepted that reconciliation and were baptized.
And here he again, you know, makes it clear that the promise is to really to anyone who will believe him.
Yeah.
It's to you, your children, and all that are afar off.
Which is us, in a way.
Sure.
Well, and also one little thing that we all know is, let's see. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The thing is, he's called all who would believe. It's not like, well, he's called you, but not you.
Mm-hmm.
The call is out to all, which really is the seed of Adam. But if you will hear and receive, you've answered the call. Amen?
Yeah.
Acts 8:12 through 16.
But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the signs and the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, so we have here where it goes into also that baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you see here where, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, and that is that water baptism. And here you see also that Philip baptized them because they received it. And then the apostles, hearing that the Samaritans had received, went down and brought the Holy, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then further on in this chapter, unless you wanted to say something, Megan, is 8:36 and 38. When you are ready.
And as they went on their way, they came in unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him.
You know what's interesting is the eunuch wasn't a Jew. He was an Ethiopian. Right?
Yep.
This is the first Gentile that we see. If you believe with all thine heart, that's what Philip asked him. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was like the centurion because he knew the God of Israel was the one true God. And we don't know, we know a little more about the centurion, but these were people that availed themselves of the word of God that was given unto the children of Israel. He was reading the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand it. The Lord had him go and run up alongside this chariot, and he was right at that part talking about Jesus and the sacrifice he'd make. And Philip climbs up, opens it up to the guy, and the guy receives it. And Philip baptized him.
You know, one of the things that this part of the story shows is how the Lord is a respecter of faith, and he meets people where they are when they're seeking him. And an example of that is the Syrophoenician woman who wasn't a Jew, but Jesus went to her because his father took him there. And you know, he was going to pass her by. She was not a Jew. He was sent to the Jews. And she, you know, when he said, he referred to her basically, not her.
It is not meat for giving the children's bread to the dogs.
Exactly. And she didn't come against that, but she did say, you know, even the dogs eat from the crumbs. What's left, you know, something. And, you know, she believed anyway. And here you see a man, also a person What were they? Like in the desert? Somehow I had the impression they were in the desert. There it is, verse 26. And so it's not like this is, you know, the local city. There's a man who believes the Lord, and the Lord sends someone to him to give, to answer his questions that he might believe more fully.
Well, he didn't know what to believe, if you think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't understand. He didn't know that Jesus took his place on that cross and shed his blood so he could be reconciled to God. Philip had to open that up to him. That's the gospel. People don't know it.
Well, he came up to Jerusalem to worship. So, you know, but whatever his knowledge of the word was, he didn't know Jesus. So now he does.
Amen. Okay, so that was 8. Acts 9:18. And just so everybody knows, this is actually talking about the Apostle Paul when he was baptized. I believe. 9:18.
And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized.
Just to put it in context so people might believe me here, if you go up and, people should know this scripture about Paul, but I guess, just read from 10 down through 18, just to put it in perspective. But this is Paul, and when he was baptized.
And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized.
Yep. Brother Saul, he believed God's testimony, and Ananias did.
Yep.
And he made confirmation of who it was that Saul had met in the way. Jesus.
Yeah.
And he arose and was baptized. Acts 10:47-48, this is Ananias.
Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
You know, I have to tell you a funny story. When I went and looked at the scripture, I said to myself, I think that's Cornelius. And I know I've said we all should know by now that chapter 10 of Acts is Cornelius. But even I said to myself, I think. I should know by now. I think I know. I hope I know. But that, of course, is, and we'll get into it further on here with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that it can happen before water baptism, and it's right here that it is, because Cornelius and those who were in his house received the gospel at Peter's mouth, were filled with the Holy Spirit by God's choice to do so, even as the Acts chapter 2, when those on the day of Pentecost were filled, and Peter's then like, wow, you know, they've got everything else, how can we forbid them the water? So that's the order of how that one went. Acts 16:15. We're going to run out of time, but we can at least get through these.
And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us.
Yeah, and this is Lydia.
Yes.
So Acts 18:8.
Do you want to do 16, verse 33?
Did I miss that one? Oh, yeah, I did. Thank you. Yes.
And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
And this was the jailer.
Yes.
When Paul and Silas were in prison. And you know, we're not trying to go into all these stories. They're ones that you should read and know. But here's where scriptures where we see water baptism. They received the gospel, and then they were baptized in water. And it is that baptism of water whereby the Holy Spirit then translates us, where we now dwell by faith, our soul and spirit, in the body of Christ until we get those new bodies. Our flesh, which we dwell in physically, is not a partaker. It is something God said it, we take him at his word, and we walk in it. But thank you for showing I missed that one, 18:8.
And Crispus, the chief ruler of the can I start that one again?
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Okay, let's try this one again. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? This is the third time that instantly comes to mind about somebody and all their house. You have Cornelius. You have this man, Crispus, and you just had the jailer with Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
The man and all his believed and were baptized.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you for bringing it up.
Oops. You're welcome.
I think if you go back and look at Cornelius, who we see a little bit about, you mm-hmm. see that he was a man of good report. His, you know, those under him, he was respected. His judgment was respected. He was just. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that the fruit of such a man, and he was right there stationed in Israel, and he recognized that Israel's God was the God to serve and have. As your own God, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you can see a picture kind of why what you just said is true.
Sure.
At least we can see it with Cornelius. Like with the jailer or someone else, it may be that they were also witnesses to what occurred or the testimony of what occurred. Kind of like the Samaritan woman, you know, he told me everything I did.
Yeah.
We don't really know. But it shook him up. Was that Acts 18:8?
Yes, ma'am.
So 19:5.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Okay. And this one is after Apollos, I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
So Apollos, who preached new only the baptism of John, and when Paul then comes, he asked them if they'd been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and when he realizes that they hadn't gotten the full gospel, he shared it with them, and they were rebaptized in water, in that baptism that we were baptized in.
I remember I was brought up Anglican, and I, you know, was baptized as an infant. And when I was probably about 20, 18, 19, 20, maybe I was older. Anyway, might have been a little later than that. 22. Anyway, the point is, I was now an adult, and a friend and myself were trying to decide if we should actually get baptized again, because the Bible's pretty clear, very clear, actually. Repent and be baptized. There is no ways a baby is able to repent at that point. And so, you know, this is something that you choose to do. Even though as an Anglican, which is like Episcopal in this country, when you're a teenager of some sort, of some age, I mean, you go through confirmation, which is kind of basically you accepting what your parents promised when you were christened as an infant. So now it's become your responsibility, if you will. Anyway, we both decided to get baptized as adults, as believers. And there was some opposition from leaders in the Anglican Church. It was kind of interesting. Kind of along the lines of, wasn't it sufficient the first time?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Lord is clear. Believe and be baptized.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't something you did, and it's something one does.
Yes.
You can't do it for another.
No.
And so, I mean, the truth is you'd never been baptized. Sure, somebody else thought they were baptizing you, but you've never been baptized.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, then how could something that wasn't done be sufficient, right?
Sure. That does make sense.
You can see where people get stuck on tradition and won't, you know, he could have heard you, you know, the Anglican leaders, or they could have, and said, you know, that makes sense. I think our practices are wrong. But I take it that's not what occurred.
Not to me, anyway.
Yeah, not that you're aware of.
No.
I guess we'll maybe, well, we can finish these last ones. The next one is Acts 19:5. And
didn't we do that?
Did we? Oh, 22:16.
Yes.
Thank you. And this is Paul telling his testimony. So this is, again, Paul, but it is past tense now. He's giving a testimony to it. So 22:16.
And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah. This is Paul testifying. First Corinthians 1:13-7. I know we're kind of racing through.
You mean 17. There we go.
How about if I don't even say them and you just kiss them?
No. You didn't. Excuse me. Alrighty. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
You know, can you imagine back then, and here's, hold on, Megan. I have
sure.
to, I'll be back.
Okay. Is Christ divided? No. We're to be baptized in him, not in the name of anybody else. And Paul then thanks the Lord that he's only baptized Stephanus's household, Crispus and Gaius, you know, because otherwise they could take what he had done and twist it that he had had some other intention when he hadn't. And, you know, the job that the Lord had for Paul to do was to preach the gospel, not with great words as the Gentiles were inclined to want to hear, but with power.
Megan?
Yes.
Oh, did you just not say anything there?
No, I kind of went over those verses.
Okay. Good. I came back to nothingness. So. If you could read 1 Peter 3:21 there. I think I said that one right, right?
Yes, you sure did. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
You know, it is because we take God at his word that baptism doth save us. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people have been baptized and aren't saved. But it is that baptism where we believe God, that we are translated out of the body of this death, our flesh, and into the body of Christ. And from there we then walk in newness of life and serve him. And it's the only place that we can have a good conscience. You know what I'm saying? Because we're in communication and communion with the Lord, and he's able to chasten, correct us, do all of those things that we need that we might be able to do exactly what, you know, be saved. Baptism doesn't save you, if you hear what I'm saying.
Yes, it's the answer. It's what comes of it.
Yeah.
And it's time, it looks
yes,
like.
Yes, it is, yes. So, go back and read the chapters, you know. Read the book of Acts. And many of these, if not most of them, are right in there. It's a great book to read and read again because it is how the body of Christ looks and how it
Amen.
Works. And how it presses each other. And all the other good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. Well, hopefully Ann and Karen will be back with us next week. And
yes.
Thank y'all for joining us.
Good night.
Good night.